I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. This program is brought to you by the Amazing FBA Mentoring Program. The mentoring program is there for you, whether you are just starting out or you have an existing product and you want to add another product, or you want to scale up from a few thousand pounds or dollars per month up into the sort of $25,000 a month or so mark, at which point then I would probably hand you over to the care of the 10K Collective Mastermind if you're in the UK. Is it for you if you're outside of the UK? Absolutely. I've got an American client, a British client, weirdly, but who's in Australia. I've got an Australian client in London. I've worked with people in Poland and in Ireland. So it's pretty international. This works for everybody because everyone has similar issues. If you're selling in America, if you're selling in the UK or Europe, or you're planning to sell in UK, Europe or America, I've sold in all those marketplaces and coached people and all that. So all of those people will find that this is a very, very helpful program for them. Why one-to-one mentoring? It's pretty simple, really, because isolation is a dream killer. Trying to learn something just from the raw fire hose of YouTube and podcasts and Facebook groups is going to drive you nuts. But even if you've got the structured work of a course, which I definitely, definitely would recommend, I did that myself and I work with people with my course now, I still think it's really, there's no substitute for being able to use somebody as a sounding board and learning from somebody who's been there before can help you deal with the head trash and have clear, simple processes and hold you accountable to them. So if that sounds attractive to you, guess what? We've got an amazing deal. I very, very rarely reduce the price of my mentoring because I don't want to devalue it in the marketplace, but I'm doing it because I neglected my marketing before Christmas with the PLP, the private level process course I was creating. And I've got a tax bill coming up because I've had a successful year, but that unfortunately means I owe the government a lot of tax. So for those reasons, I need to get a cash influx, so I'm willing to lower my prices for the next three or four people. After that, it goes back to standard prices, and I will indeed put them up in future, as I have done in the past. So if you're interested in exploring that, it's application only. I'm not going to hard sell you into anything. If it's not right for you, we won't work together. But many, many people have found it very helpful. If you want to find out more about that and see some of the testimonials from the happy people that I've worked with, amazingfba.com/ mentoring, MENTORING. Thank you so much for listening. Now on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. This is your host, Michael Veazey. And today I want to talk about another lesson from one of my mentoring clients and a call that we had yesterday. So I'm just going to bring up my notes here because I always take notes on lessons, on sessions, I should say. First of all, so I can send them to the client so that we keep a document of what was discussed so we don't lose good ideas. And more than ideas, we put down concrete goals at the end of each and every session. Two or normally three goals. Three is a sweet spot for me. I've got a book I've been reading recently. I can't even remember what it's called. I've been reading so many great business books recently. I'll let you know. If you want to know what it's called, ask me in the Facebook group, amazingfba.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. So this book, anyways, is about productivity, but it's not just about just kind of churning out random bits of email, corporate churning like you do in the getting things done method, Dave Allen's method, which I think is great. But this is called the agile development or something like that. And it really advocates getting three business goals per year, per quarter, per week. And that's a really great thing. I'm starting to do it myself. I've had three business goals today, one of which is to record this podcast. So I've got the other ones done. So that's good. So three goals is a really excellent starting point, and that's one of the reasons why I think the mentoring system works. It's pretty simple, robust. But anyway, so this is a person who came back from working with me a few months ago as a mentee, and you know, good guy. I was quite pleased to see him pop his head back above the parapet because I'd been offering a deal on mentoring at the beginning of this year. So Mr. X came back out of the woodwork. And he has a physical bricks and mortar business, which is not actually physical products. It's about him trading his time for money. And he said, yeah, he's had a good year, but he always gets an itch when he realizes that he doesn't really want to scale it. He could do service-based businesses can be scaled, but obviously it means employing a lot of staff, physical overheads and stuff. And he just doesn't have the interest to do that. He's got a business partner who, you know, I'm not sure how his business partner feels that it's good or bad. But the point is, this chap doesn't want to do it. So he said, I am the product and it's a lot of work. And I said, well, look, don't feel bad. I run a podcast. So I'm the same. You know, when I do my business coaching one-to-one, I am the product. So don't feel bad about that. It can be part of the mix, but nevertheless, it's not where he wants to be. So what is he aiming to do? This is always something I ask new mentoring clients, but even when he's coming back, I said, okay, what do you want to do? Well, he wants to create an online program. Maybe he could create an online program that would be a way of leveraging his physical service business, but he can't really get past the fact that e-commerce business ticks a lot of boxes for him. It's more of a machine that you could set up, and it takes work to set up, and he's realistic having run businesses before. But once it's set up, it works for you again and again without you having to be physically present, and that's absolutely true. And also the location freedom thing as well. He says he still wants to serve people in his XYZ space, where XYZ or XYZ is the type of business he's in, but he doesn't want to be tied to location and one-to-one stuff. So last time he set his heart on a particular type of product, and we worked for a couple of months, maybe three, on that. And he just couldn't find this sort of way into the marketplace, possibly because I think he was fixating on a type of product, which when you think about it, he didn't have a particular expertise at. And I said, look, let's consider starting from scratch. And he said, yeah, absolutely up for starting from scratch. Let's look at the customer avatar, do whatever it takes to get this in place. Now, what's really fascinating to me, just to pause a moment and reflect, is this guy's, unlike somebody else I've shared about recently from a mentoring call, who is a real kind of expert consumer. He has a very specific problem and pain, and really got to know about the solutions for that because of his own personal need. He wasn't an expert in that area, that type of product to start with, but became an expert because of needing to, because of his personal situation. Now, this person, Mr. X, is in a different situation because he is an expert in helping people in a certain specific way in a particular sort of niche. So let's imagine that he's expert. I mean, I used to teach people the piano, for example, and I used to do it one-to-one, and I was basically my business, and I guess I could have, if I wanted to, expand it to doing group classes, as this person has, but I didn't really enjoy it because, you know, various things. I guess it's one-to-one work, it's laborious, it's not repeated, and often my clients weren't highly motivated, which is a bit different. But broadly speaking, I didn't want to scale that business either. And I may find another way of doing that one day, who knows, but I certainly found that selling physical products in the music space online while still serving musicians was indeed a more passive way of me doing it. Not passive to start set up, it was very active, but there's that ongoing selling, and you could set up systems and work on the systems, but the actual income was not directly proportional to the time that I had to put in. So I can completely relate to where he's coming from. But just imagine that really you are a pianist and you teach people piano, and then suddenly, as I did, you go plunging into the field of, in my case, music stand lights, electronics from China. That's not really my expertise. I learned as I went along, but it was neither something that was a pressing need for me. It was something I understood, having used them, but it wasn't a really, really pressing need. I wasn't obsessed with it. Wasn't driven to it by a medical or other pressing need in my life, for example. And also, it wasn't something I was an expert in producing. So I was an expert in teaching people, and then suddenly I went into something that was very out of my area of expertise. So what I would say is, with my previous example, with a client who's got who's an expert consumer in a very particular type of physical product, then he's kind of an expert in that product area now. Whereas this other client that I'm talking about now, Mr. X, I guess, a bit of mystery, Mr. X is not an expert in a particular type of product that he was considering selling, but he is an expert in the needs of a particular avatar, because he spends all day, every day, and his business days, I say all day, I mean, he's working, I guess, 3-4 days a week. He's got some flexibility because he owns the business or co-owns it. But he's spending all day with his customers. So I said, look, the thing is, you fixated on a particular type of product, a particular type of solution to a rather vague set of problems related to your customer, right? So imagine that I fixated on producing music stand lights for, say, pianists, and without really reference to whether that was my client's greatest need, and without talking to them, which is true, I didn't. I said, look, you have a business, a part of your business. I asked the other question, which is really, really important. And that one of the main learnings from this is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because I said, so is that all of your business you don't like scaling? It sounds like you don't like working with women of a certain age in that business. And what about the men? And he said, yeah, actually, there's this group of men that I've got that I work, about 10 of them. in this service industry, and I, for whatever reason, find that, you know, I'm not being sexist, but this is just happens to be true, that a certain type of person that I really like working with, and we've got a group and it's going really, really well. And I said, okay, well, look, you've basically got yourself a little, not even customer focus group, but you've got a set of paying clients, and you just need to just dig deep with those guys. Just, you can do it quite casually. You can just find out what problems they have and what they need, and actually then start from your expertise. Your expertise is in the 10 people in that class, in the 100 or whatever it is, people in your service business. And those 100 or whatever people are the people you are expert in, because you know them very, very well. You know them personally. You know their needs in the area that you're an expert in providing very deeply. So if you want to go into the physical product space, serve the same kind of person and drill deep into their needs and then go and fulfill that need. So unlike my other client, this person is not an expert in the particular product, the particular type of solution, but they are an expert in the customer's problem from a customer service or a person, a service provider point of view. So I'm an expert in the needs of people who need to learn to play the piano, or for that matter, I used to be with the French horn and brass instruments I used to teach years ago. I'm not an expert in producing trumpets, but I do know what characteristics trumpets need to have if I'm going to play them well, or French horns. So I'm kind of an expert teacher of people who use the products rather than being an expert in making the products. And that's okay, because you can still be guided very precisely that way by having very clear specification and knowing exactly that what exact problem your product is there to solve. So that's the first thing, and you can go to your suppliers then and experiment until you find the right solution. And guess how you're going to experiment? If you've got a set of customers in front of you already, if your existing business, you go back to them and you say, okay, does this solve your problem? For example, if I were to produce a series of piano books, how to begin learning piano as a beginner or something, in adulthood, so adult beginners, I'd probably, if I were going to do that, go straight back to any adult beginner students I had. I've given up teaching piano pretty much now because I just didn't enjoy it. But if I was still doing it and enjoyed some of it, I'd go back to those people and say, okay, does this book help you? Give me some feedback. And then I'd refine the product from that point of view. Or if it was elderly people who couldn't read the music because it wasn't bright enough and the existing music stand lights weren't bright enough, then I'd go and get some samples from China. I'd give them to my students and say, I have this for free, but I want your feedback. And, you know, is it bright enough? Does it last for long enough? Is it reliable? Is it too heavy? Is it easy to put into place? That kind of question, right? So never run away from what you have going for you. As Ash Ali puts it, you have to have your unfair advantage. You have to have a competitive advantage. For most of us, it's not going to be the ability to mass produce products and having masses of finance on our side. That is where the Chinese factories are going to win, and win big. Where they don't tend to win big is in digging really deep into one particular type of product, one particular solution, particularly if that's something you're personally obsessed with. And they don't also dig deep into understanding a particular customer. So this is less of a, I'm the consumer and here's the product solving my particular pain. This is a situation where you have clients in an existing business and you understand their pains, and you go and ask them more and more about that, and then you go and find potential solutions, bring them back and say, try this for me. All right. I'm not saying it's going to work in every single type of business, but if you own your own business, even if it's a service-based business, not product-based, never underestimate what you're sitting on. There is a load of expertise that you may not have and they might not have, but the expertise you can bring is to bring the expertise out of your clients. They are expert consumers. If, for example, I have a problem with, let's think of other things that I've used. If I have a problem with relaxing at night and I want to have a little massager, right? So I bought my wife something recently that's that a massager is behind your head. If I were really obsessed with that as a solution to sleeping at night, then I would try and, you know, every massager on the marketplace, and I'd be very aware of their limitations. So that's really what it comes down to, is drilling very, very specifically. Now, what's interesting, one lesson is don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. In other words, don't run away from your current job. You can treat e-commerce and an Amazon, specifically Amazon wing of your business, as a new wing of an existing business. For starters, you have more credibility with the customers. You have more credibility with suppliers. If you go to somebody, say, hi, I'm brand new, I'm just selling stuff on Amazon, I don't know what I'm doing, or giving that impression, versus I've been in business for 20 years in the music education industry, we're now branching out into physical products in my case. That sounds way more convincing, and is more convincing than, oh, hi, I'm just selling products on Amazon for the first time, you know? So both from the marketing and supply side point of view, it's way better. But also, quite often, people have a great deal of expertise that they overlook. Now, in this case, Mr. X amazed me with two things. He said, oh, yeah, well, actually, I've been through customer avatar work with a business coach before, who I think was excellent. And we went through all this stuff. And he's got extremely precise language and pain points from his customers. And I said, this is amazing. This is basis for 5, 10, 15 physical products. The other thing, it revealed that then this person had some training videos that he'd done for clients, actually quite a few. And he's got an ebook, which is, again, pretty finished. And he showed me about this stuff. And I said, you know, maybe it needs a little bit of tweaking. The ebook needs a bit of tweaking to become a Kindle book. The videos need tweaking, and then maybe just make a DVD set. But you've already got a product. Sure, it's kind of an information product, but don't be puritanical. There's lots of products on Amazon that are physical products and also digital products. I mean, books are the classic example. I own the Star Principle, the book. I own the Star Principle, the Kindle book, and I own the Audible version. So two out of three of those are purely digital products, but all three of them are information products, I would argue. But also, a book is an information product par excellence, and it has been for hundreds of years. Printed books, right? Old school technology. But the physical book is also a physical product that can be fulfilled on Amazon. All three of them, of course, Kindle, Audible, physical books, are sold on Amazon. And so are DVD sets, right? Now, there is not that much of a difference. But if you want to get launched on Amazon, if you already have some information products of some kind in your business, and I know two or three people that have been sweating to get launched on Amazon for a while, another mentoring client I worked with for quite a while, she has a wonderful, beautifully produced recipe book that has never seen the light of day, as far as I know, on Amazon. It was kind of an adjunct. It was an add-on to another product that didn't work so well. But again, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, I think it's such a shame. It doesn't really matter to me if you only sell, you know, a £2 ebook to 50 people or something a month. I mean, that's money you wouldn't have had if you've got it hanging around anyway. But also, it's a way of getting familiar with Amazon if you haven't done it before. And it's a way of bringing in potential customers. And you can start to find ways to get their information from Amazon. It gets harder and harder to get them off Amazon, of course. But you can do various things like put an insert in it saying for your, if it's a physical product, for example, the videos, you could say, oh, you know, if you want a guarantee activated or something, come to this site, mybusiness.com/guarantee. And that's something I've done with physical products in the past. That works well. You've got to box clever and work around the rules, but there are going to be some people, a certain percentage of buyers, that you can get their details off Amazon and start contacting them outside of Amazon as well. So I really do think that there's two really, really important points here. I mean, I think, first of all, if you have an existing business, there are aspects of it you don't like, particularly if it's a service-based business and it's one-to-one, or you've got, it's a physical business, but you're doing all the fulfillment, all the picking and packing, or you're even physically bundling things and going to the post office. Either of those situations, you can change aspects of your business that you don't like, but you don't have to change everything. If you've got a physical products business already and you're hating going to the post office or doing your own warehousing, guess what? There's this thing called Amazon FBA. In other words, you send it into Amazon and they will fulfill it by them. FBA is fulfilled by Amazon, in case you're new to that. Hence the title of the podcast, Amazing FBA. And it is amazing. So for example, if you have an existing nuts and bolts based business where you're spending all day packaging stuff up yourself and sending it off and go to the post office and you're fed up with that, well, look at the economics of it and see if you can get it to work on FBA. If you have a service-based business, can you productize what you do and turn it into an information product and get that on Amazon? Easily overlooked, but it's not strictly private labeling. It's better because it's a unique product. To circumvent copyright is probably harder than circumventing a patent, because the Chinese aren't going to copy English products because that's not their strength, but they're very good at copying physical products. So I would argue it's a fantastic thing to be doing, and it doesn't have to be either or. You don't have to be doing service business or information products or physical products. It's an artificial distinction, for starters. And also, you don't have to become an expert at physical product supply chains. You could be. That could be your bag. And if that's you, focus on that. I've got somebody coming into the Million Pound Mastermind. We had an interview. And it sounds like he really loves supply side of things. He lived out in Far East at a certain point. He's very good at that side. I said, look, so focus on your strengths and outsource all this warehousing stuff that's dragging you down. At least consider it. I mean, you've got to look at the nuts and bolts. You've got to examine it. You've got to run your profit and loss, of course. But there is a good case for him at least strongly considering whether he should get a certain percentage and do a pilot. Got lots of different product lines, lots of SKUs. You could do a pilot with 4, 5, 10 SKUs and for a certain period and see how that goes. But the point is to focus on what you're good at. So if what your focus is in your business is the customer and understanding the customer, then that's fine. Go with that. And be cool with the fact that your expertise as a customer, not necessarily supply chains for physical products, not necessarily physical product development. I don't mean you're not going to have to learn about those things. You are, and your business is going to have to get good at those things. But what you personally bring and the sort of cutting edge of your business, the competitive advantage, could well be, if you have an existing business, your existing clients, and you know, if you multiply those out, it's like the what do you call it? The Facebook lookalike audience. If you've got 10 people in your whatever it is, your service-based business, you've got 100 people in your service-based business, just multiply those by 10, by 100, and then you've got 10,000 people who are very similar, have similar needs, and guess what? You've found yourself a niche market. You know, if you've got 10,000 people and they give you the $50 over the course of a year, that's a $500,000 year business. I mean, it's not that hard to get a decent amount of money from a relatively small number of people over the course of a year. And that's 1,000 sales a month across a few different product lines. That's extremely doable. That's actually quite modest. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you've got an existing business, what aspects of it do you love and what could you expand on as the sort of core starting point for your Amazon business? Learning number two is don't ignore the expertise you built up understanding a particular client. And just because you don't enjoy serving them in a certain way doesn't mean you should ignore all that expertise you built up on their needs. You can just find a better way to serve them that frees your time up or is more leveraged or whatever it is for you. And the third thing is, again, don't overlook things you've already got. Any kind of information type products can immediately become Amazon products with very minimal tweaking. And yeah, sure, it may not be the private label dream of selling a $20 product for $5 each and you sell 1,000 a month and that's your $5,000 a month. Oh, sorry, is that the right maths? But whatever it is, you know, you say you're making $10 per product, you sell 100 a month, that's $1,000. There are 10 products, you got a $10,000 a month profit and you retire and live in the Bahamas. Great. Yes, if you're selling a $2 or $3 ebook, you aren't going to get rich from it. But it doesn't matter. Get started. Get started with what you have, where you are now. So start from who you are, start from what you know and work towards what you aspire to. But never ignore who you are and your competitive advantage, whatever that may be. And that's really the final lesson of today is your competitive advantage. Don't overlook that because then you're fighting on the back foot and that's not a good place to be in 2019. Amazon is now competitive and it is still an amazing place to be because there's so much demand. The solution is you've got to carve out a niche and find a gap between supply and demand and fulfill that demand. Yeah, that want, that scratch, that the itch that people have to scratch, you scratch it, whatever metaphor you like. But the best way to find that is to really, really understand a particular type of customer, then go and search using Helium 10 or Jungle Scout, or whatever your favorite tool is. And for sure, you can make that more efficient by using the right tools in the right way. But start with a person, then look for products to fulfill their particular needs. And I think you'll just find it's a way easier, less mind-numbing path than the alternative, which is acting like a robot and looking at 10,000 possible products purely based on the numbers. I have rarely seen anyone succeed in that way. Very rarely. But people who are obsessed with a particular type of product, that's when it works. So hear me on this. It's much better to restrict yourself to what you know. Restrict is not a good word. Focus on or grow out of what you know, and then you've got a way better chance of finding a great set of products and building a real sustainable business that can really make profit and stay profitable, build a passionate connection with the consumers. And that's what I call a real brand and a valuable business. Thanks very much for listening. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn, the critical few, then do, then review, and then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.